after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans is back from his sick bed. Gordon Dalziel and Simon Donnelly are here as well. And they all have one thing in common, it's that they want to speak to you. So give them a call, please, on 0141 951 1025. It's a bit of a strange schedule at the moment. The season sometimes feels like it's not quite got going on a Saturday afternoon, because all five teams who were in Europe postponed their games, meaning one Premiership game today, and it's not even kicked off yet. We will go to Tannadice and get the team news and the build up with Dave Galloway. But other than that, what else is on your mind? Maybe you are a Championship fan, Partick Thistle, Stenhouse Muir, Morton or otherwise, and you want to get in touch based on what you've seen today and last night. That's fine. I suspect for most of you listening, it'll all be about Europe, a bit of a mixed bag, results and performances during the week. What does that do for your optimism this coming week? Gordon Dalziel has got Celtic 100% through, which seems very certain. There's a bit of a mixed bag. A couple of them think Hibs will go through. Hugh Keevans, in true fashion, thinks both Edinburgh sides will go out, and nobody's given Motherwell a chance, perhaps. Understandably so. 12 days left of the transfer window as well, so let's get stuck into all of the above on 0141 951 1025. Before we take the calls, whilst you get in touch, let's go to Dave Galloway quickly and get a build up to that Dundee derby, Dave.
Yes, it's always a great occasion, Gordon, when these two city rivals lock horns, but it really does take centre stage, with it being the only top flight clash and an evening kickoff as well. Here's hoping they put on a spectacle in front of a packed Tannadice. Both teams could certainly do with a lift. Dundee United, having conceded 8 goals in back-to-back defeats and failing to score any, although remarkably they did hit the woodwork 5 times against Celtic last weekend as they exited the League Cup. Dundee brushed aside by Aberdeen 7 days ago in the same competition. Now the Tangerines and the Dark Blues, they've made inconsistent starts to this season. They'd love to begin building some momentum, and victory tonight could be a great way to get things going. There'll be a terrific atmosphere, and that should help ensure a fierce contest. I'll give you the team lineups. And Dundee United, goodness me, they certainly have rung the changes. They've made no fewer than 6 of them. In come Mergam, Kamara, Tate, Yoro, Ferry and Metsoko. Out go Rollins, Siobataru, Eskison, Agye, Rose and Sapsford. So they will start with Walton in goals, Yoro, Esselink, Forbes and Ferry at the back, Chavez, Tate and Kamara in midfield. Up top, Mergam, Metsoko and Randall. Their subs, Amisa, Iovu, Graham, Sapsford, Rose, Siobataru, Farrugia, Rollins and Benny. Dundee, just one change, and sadly it's enforced with Ian Murray out probably for the rest of the season with a horrible looking ACL injury that he sustained catching his studs in the turf at Pittodrie last weekend. So it's Forrest in for Murray, Goodman in goals for the D's, Wright, Astley, Owen Bevan and Odutayo at the back, Finnegan and Hamilton the city midfielders, then it's Joe Bevan, Wesley and Riley, with Forrest leading the line. Substitutes for the visitors tonight, O'Hara, Halliday, Wales, Robertson, Bazier, Fink, Jones, Oosenborough and Crombie. Match referee David Dickinson, VAR John Beaton.
Is this the old fashioned mind games? I've not seen a manager go quite this far with that. If it is with Jim Goodwin yesterday saying Will Ferry's got a small problem with his groin, he won't make the game, the game comes too soon for him, and then he's in.
Then he's in.
Now, usually they give it the old wishy-washy, oh, he might make it, he's a bit of a doubt, we'll see how he goes. Or maybe Will Ferry's defied medical science overnight and has made a miraculous
recovery. Well, he's made 6 changes, hasn't he? He's obviously not happy. He's tried to keep that team under wraps. He's changed things about there. It's a massive game for him. Obviously I'm looking forward to it. I think the Dundee derby's a terrific spectacle, and it'll be a tight one. So he's tried to just keep his team as close to his chest as he possibly can. I think Ferry's a big player for him. I like Ferry, and plus the fact he takes all the throw-ins, and it's a bit of a
weapon they've got.
A weapon that you can get, you know, the ball into a dangerous area and try and pick up second balls. And I think that'll be a real
There's keeping your team close to your chest, and then they're saying he's not playing. but he is playing.
Yeah, managers try anything, don't they? But no middle ground with Dundee United. You know, they played very well against Rangers. Ought to have beaten them with a late chance that came their way to Randall. And then get battered by Hearts 4-0 at Tynecastle. I think Dundee's problems are too great. The loss of Simon Murray, much as they are a good team, and Stephen Presley has done a terrific job there. I think Dundee United, home advantage, get the points.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the build-up to that one in case anything springs up that Dave Galloway wants to bring to our attention, and then it'll kick off about 40 minutes time, and we'll get that one up and running. 01419511025 on the phones. Gary is first through. Hi, Gary.
Hi, good afternoon, Gordon. Gordon, Simon and Hugh. Welcome back.
Thank you, Gary.
Hope you're all well. By the way, Hugh, listen, Julie, it's good to hear you in the airwaves again. Me and you had a few ding-dongs last year, mainly about the whole balance, shifting the balance of power in Glasgow, but it's really good to have you back, and I hope you're keeping well.
I am. Thank you, Gary.
Okay. So my points are, can I mainly... There is European results through the week. Now, Scotland have had some horrendous weeks in Europe as a kind of nation with however many teams have been playing in it. But I thought, I think the midweek results here were had worse. I think Hibs have looked pretty good in Europe this year. Kind of look as if they're playing some good stuff. Motherwell, obviously, up against Freiburg, but obviously put in a good performance. Celtic were a different class. Obviously, Hearts and Rangers still in their ties as well. But you'd expect Rangers to go through as well. Hearts still in their ties. So, yeah, good week all round, I think. And a kind of pat in the back.
I think especially, like, you can't go too far. It's not like a brilliant week. They're all facing pretty tough opposition. So even the ones, you know, Hearts get the draw away. You can see why that's impressed Gary. I think Rapid Vienna are a good enough team that a home draw is considered good.
Absolutely.
And then I know you can never go for the whole kind of glorious failure, but Freiburg are Europa League finalists. It's a different footballing planet. So even for Motherwell to play the way they did, I think Gary's right in his positivity.
Yeah, absolutely correct in every way. You know, the Celtic game as a spectacle, that's what you want to see of a Champions League qualifier. It was sensational entertainment. And if you're on Super Scoreboard in Austria tonight, you're saying, I thought we were unlucky to not come away with a goal or two at Celtic Park. And that's correct. So that was the spectacle. The outstanding football match was Celtic against LASK. The others were exciting in so many ways. Hearts, as I say, for sheer bravado, having been battered by Sturm Graz and battered by Benfica, Rapid Vienna was a real good result for them, and there's still something in it for them. Hibs have the weight of history on their shoulders. Never been to the group stages of any European competition. I find that astonishing. But the Hibby that we have in our family, the tickets are gold dust. There will not be an empty seat at Easter
That'll
Road.
Be a great night.
Yeah, he has struggled to get a seat for him and his dad, but he has got them. And it'll be a sensational night. For Rangers, it comes down purely and simply to never mind the entertainment, never mind who you're playing, what league they're in, where they finished in the last season league. Rangers cannot, under any circumstances, come back from the Czech Republic not even having made the Conference League. That would be alarm bells all round the Ibrox. So I think Tuesday night on Super Scoreboard, Wednesday night, Thursday night, going to be sensational watching this unfold.
Yeah, I agree with Hugh. I think it has been a good week. If I'm looking at the ties just now, I'm hoping that three out of the five at least get through. I do. I've said it from, you know, the other night there, Celtic for me are a stick on to go through, because I think everybody in this programme said, with the firepower that they've got, they'll score over there, which is too big a gap for LASK. So I firmly believe Celtic will go through. Rangers still a bit of work to be done, but they should be good enough. I fancy Hibs at home. I agree with you. There's nothing better if you're a Hibs player than a full Easter Road with atmosphere, everything about it. So I think they'll get through. Motherwell, unfortunately, put up a great fight, but that's just a task too big for Motherwell. And I've just be interested to see how Hearts do. Be really, really hard, but they've got that sort of in their locker that they can go and get an upset. It would be an upset, but they'll need to be at the top of their form. But the other three, I firmly see them progressing in Europe.
It's just annoying, Simon, because in terms of like actually getting to the group stages, yeah, you know, getting something tangible or adding to the coefficient, that's we might fall short. There are loads of reasons for this. You're talking about the country's coefficient. You know, if you finish higher up in another league, you still deserve the chance, etc., etc. So I'm not trying to be too simplistic about it. But I looked at Larne as an example. Scott Allen used to be over at Larne, and yeah, he was flagging us up. They're playing Lincoln Red Imps for a place in the Conference League groups. Yeah. Whereas Motherwell have got Freiburg, and Hearts have got Rapid Vienna, and the Hibs have got Ghent.
Yeah, it's been harsh, the draw.
So it's like you need to almost really, really punch above your weight to get through to the groups.
Listen, in fairness, up until now, it's early days in the season, but the teams have done relatively well in Europe. And I think the only one there, I agree with the guys, we touched on it at the start of the show, I think Celtic will score over there, which probably will lead to them going through. Rangers, we go back to the previous tie. I did the game in here in the studio, and I thought Rangers in the second half created enough chances to get a result there. Obviously get knocked down a level. You look at the Gassama chance to make it 2-0 the other night, would have given them a little bit of a cushion. I still think they'll go through, Rangers. Hibs at home, you would expect. I think only Hearts is in the balance, but they've shown this season that they can score goals. They're leaking goals, which is an issue. And Motherwell, yeah, I mean, a tough, tough draw. They got off to a really good start. They get the man sent off, and Freiburg get a late goal. So I think that's the one that's dead. The other ones are very much alive, and I think Hearts is in the balance.
Gary, how? I mean, I take it you're very confident that Celtic go through after that 3-0. Gary, you still with us? No, he's disappeared. Oh, we'll try and get Gary back in just a second. 01419511025, still building up to kickoff in the Dundee Derby as well. I think he has the. Do you know what? Gary's somehow on the phone lines and trying to phone in at the same time.
That's a talent.
I do think we might.
He's got my grasp on technology.
I do think we might be able to get Tim back in just a second. We'll get Robbie in the other line as well, who I will bring in. But just in case Gary's still there, we'll give him another second to try and get back in touch with us before we move on. But a nice positive look back on the week that was. But it can be better because hopefully Hearts and Hibs can finish the job. Need Celtic to get theirs over the line. Rangers as well.
I think we're probably all confident about Celtic and Rangers. Hearts and Hibs are the two that we're looking at, the Edinburgh side.
All right, so Mr. Percentage, just out of curiosity, because you've been ridiculous with saying I'm Celtic's 100%. Tell me, Rangers.
78.
78. Specific.
I'll go 75.
Right, it's getting silly now. Don't give me the shoe, leave it here.
Higher or lower?
Yeah, higher or lower than 75.
Higher.
Okay. Gary is back. Sorry, Gary, I was just asking. I take it you're pretty confident Celtic going to finish this job then, based on what you saw?
Yeah, and like Gordon says, it's hard to see Celtic not scoring. So if they scored one, they've got to score four to take the extra time, and I just don't see that happening. Just one other point, Gordon. I think it's fair to say Celtic fans have been shortchanged in the last number of transfer windows. Probably since Ange brought in Hatate and O'Reilly in that window, that season, his first season. But I think this window so far, to think that we've had a net profit on transfers, and quite a significant profit. The squad, the team is so much better, but yet we've actually made money. So this one's been long overdue, and I think we one or two so we came in. This boy, is it Memich, I think?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, another classy midfielder is probably going to be the replacement for Ingles. So I'm really, really happy, and again, it's long overdue. Celtic fans, the board must realise when everybody's pulling in the same direction, like the end of last season, when there was a sort of truce, they're a lot more effective on the pitch. They're a better team. Yeah, it's really good. They're good.
Gary,
a good factor.
The one thing I say, and by way of tribute to the board, yes, they've paid money, they're still in profit, but you cannot blame them or criticise them if you buy Casper Hu for £11 million and you have a real bargain in Camilo Duran for £5 million. It's the accuracy of the judgment that's impressed me.
That has to be it, doesn't it? Because I do feel like, see, when you base it on purely the amount spent, I think you just the argument almost falls down because Celtic have spent in the past few years. Look at 9 million on Adam Eder. So take the last couple of windows. If you're telling me, and it's true, that Balakwisha and Duran cost a similar amount of money, not the same. Yeah. Duran's slightly more expensive, but a similar amount of money. It's about how wisely you spend it.
Yeah. No one ever knows about Celtic's recruitment, who's responsible, who's got the last word, etc., etc. Now, how do you go from a window which contains Adamu and all of the other failures that were of no use to Martin O'Neill to a window in which you have Casper Hu, Camilo Duran, Mika Bauer, and the package that is Haseem Hassan, who, you know, excellent World Cup, yet to have fitness for domestic football here. So that they have, I don't know who picked these guys, but someone almost out of the blue has come up with proper choices. And the Celtic fans are hoping that the choices they make between now and the 3rd of September will also be able to be described in that fashion. But it has lifted fans and players alike, and it's made Celtic go into the tie on Tuesday full of confidence, because as everyone has agreed, if Duran or Casper Hu can come up with a goal, it leaves the Austrian team with one heck of a task.
That said though, it does show that the more you go into the slightly higher market, maybe the better the chances of a good player, obviously.
Yeah,
you know, so once
it's never guaranteed.
Go six, go a Bauer is Bauer nine actually, was he? In the, was or Hassan, sorry. Bauer 6. Uh-huh. If Memic comes through, I think that's rumoured to be about 7. Yeah. So that's a departure from collecting a few guys at 2 and 3.
Listen, I don't do the business for Celtics. I'm not really interested in prices. It's the quality of player.
And no, I think is that what I'm saying? There's a link.
Yeah, of course there is. But for me, I'm just trying to emphasise it's the quality of player. I think the last transfer window that Hugh's talking about, I'm speculating because I've got no privy to it, but it was almost in desperation to get bodies in to supplement the squad, which effectively never worked because Martin went with the guys that were there. If you look at the teams from the window to the got it over the line on the last day, I believe Duran was on the radar. Certainly who's been mentioned with Celtic before, so maybe these were guys that were on the radar before, but the quality is undeniable that's come in. It's lifted that team, and I keep saying the boy Duran looks something really, really special. And I agree with Gary the caller. When Celtic are pulling in the right direction with everybody there and bringing in quality like that, it will be a force to be reckoned with this
Thank
season.
You to Gary. What about Robbie, who's on the other line? Hi, Robbie.
All right, Gordon, thanks a lot for taking my call. I just want to just say welcome back to Hugh. And Hugh, I just want to make Guy the ultimate compliment. You are the Clyde One Super Scoreboard as to what Sir David Attenborough is to wildlife.
At one time, the most pleasant and unfathomable compliment I've ever had.
I was worried as to where that was going, actually, but you've nailed it, Robbie. Well done. What are you thinking about your team?
I just want to just say, possibly Simon, because we're coming for a Celtic mind. Simon, I just want to just say, are you quite confident that if Celtic get this guy in the midfielder, Erman Mamic, or whatever he's called, and this apparently he's coming in for a season, the guy, Chelsea, the left back, apparently that's talks are ongoing with that, and maybe a goalkeeper. So that's my ultimate first, I'll make one or two points if that's alright, Gordon, but that's my first point to Simon. Domestically and in Europe, are you quite happy if they go for V2 and a goalkeeper, backup goalkeeper, you'd be quite happy with that, Simon?
Yeah, I think they will bring two or three more in. There was a guy that I'd asked Dazzler about earlier on, wasn't he? Is it Sigurd, the Canadian boy, who was linked as well, who we touched on earlier on the other studio about right back situation, but he plays as a defensive midfielder as well. He's on the radar, but yeah, just from the recruitment already, Robbie, makes Celtic look really strong domestically.
But it has to be minimum three, does it not?
I think so, yeah.
Minimum, because like just numbers, goalkeeper and left back,
yeah,
just simply has to happen, numbers wise. And there's you can't celebrate the Arne Engels sale if you don't go and
replace
bring
him.
Someone else. And that's before you even look at does Hatate go
again? Does that boy, is it Mamic, does he fill that? Is he not?
Well, you heard David Friel earlier
attacking
again. I was talking more of a number, but then that's what I mean, because if anything, that's another body.
Yeah,
it just feels like two wouldn't do it.
No, I think there'll be definitely three, and I think maybe four. And listen, if they're as good as what's came in already, Celtic will be very strong.
I can't disagree with that. I totally agree with you. I think that Celtic are, they're in a good place in the transfer window. This is probably their best transfer window in a long, long time, Gordon. They've been positive. They've
but
done
that's what I'm
work.
Saying, though. Isn't it funny how you can both can be true? Everybody's agreeing they're in a good place, but need four more players, probably.
Yeah. And I think that they're getting a little bit of breathing space because the Celtic fans are on this programme all the time talking about being cash rich and bringing in quality players or whatever. But because of what they've introduced just now, they've done some great business going out the other way and bringing money in. The Celtic fans are quite relaxed about how the Celtic board and everybody's conducting their business. They will bring in, I totally agree, I think they'll bring in three or four.
The one thing that has been levelled against Celtic historically is that they never seize the moment. When they have that chance to really kick on, to make Celtic even better domestically and make an imprint in Europe, they never seize the moment. Now they have tens of millions of pounds. They are still in profit in spite of having brought in the players that they have done. The sale of Maeda, Engels, Louis Palmer, Navrotsky have all made Celtic in a very healthy financial position. And they were starting with 70 million in the bank anyway. So now is their chance. Between now and September the 3rd, bearing in mind that if they get the Champions League money as of Tuesday night, they are in a fantastic position to seize the moment and go on and do something significant home and in Europe this season.
What do you think, Robbie?
Well, I was just about to say that I'm going to be quite level-headed. As much as so far so good with the signings that have came in, I'm still quite, you know, let's see how they perform when it comes to the Rangers doubleheader. Let's see if Celtic, cross fingers crossed, when they do get into the Champions League, and I think they will after Tuesday night, let's see what they do when the weeks tick by and the months tick by. Do you see what I'm saying, Simon? Do you get what I'm talking about, Gordon? I mean, we're so easy in this country, whether somebody's, I heard Charlie Mulgrew saying, no, he's already better, this Duran's already better than Maeda. See this, company for fans and for the media. I mean, we're all the same. After two or three games or 3 weeks, all other world beaters. This Duran does look good so far, so good. But wait till the weeks tick by and the months tick by, then see where we are with them. See what I'm saying?
I think that's a fair point, whether it's good or bad. I mean, everything is a bit knee-jerk. I'm not sure that's exclusive to Scottish football.
Robbie's right. We do get excited and kind of put
people off quickly as well.
See, if you've been in the game and you've played the game, Gordon, sometimes you just you look at a player and you get a knack for this player. Right away, I thought, and as much as Casper Hughes scored the hat trick down at Kilmarnock, I was talking about Duran because of the way he played and everything about him. You can tell they're quality players, right? They'll know. Listen, like every other player, they can take a wee dip in form. Of that, there's no doubt. But they've got too much quality. They're very good signings for Celtic.
Thank you very much to Robbie. 01419511025. Rangers fans, maybe a good time for you to get involved. Let us know how you're feeling in between these two European ties. What a range of opinions we took on the performance on last night's show. Lots of people eventually popping in to say that things are too negative and fans need to get behind the team, but that was on the back of some pretty strong criticism. So give us a call, please, 0141 951 1025, and we'll speak to you next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Gordon DL, Simon Donnelly, Hugh Keevans here reflecting on today's action. If you're that way inclined, there's not a lot to get through. We've got a Dundee derby coming up, the only Premiership game, but there is a lot doing the rounds. European action, transfer window, lots to debate. So keep the calls coming on 0141 951 1025. We'd love to hear from you, whichever team you support out there. And if you were involved today or last night, then again, please do get in touch. Thomas is a Rangers fan next up. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, how's things? Good not to bad. Hear that Hugh's back. He was sorely missed.
I know, we missed him greatly, Thomas. What are you thinking?
well, you were asking, saying the comment about Rangers fans being asked not to be so negative. Mm-hmm. And I've phoned in already this season. The problem is the fans are behind the team. We want to do well. We've suffered too much over the last 15 years or so. But the problem is, it's what we're watching, apart from the St Mirren game, to use the vernacular, it's sore in the eyes. The game on Thursday was painful. It was absolutely painful. That team were, I hate to say it and decry them, but they were basically a championship, Scottish championship team in terms of a quality and ability. Rangers should easily have got two or three goals, but it's not that they missed chances, it's we don't see chances getting created. The Barry Ferguson in the Hughes paper said, was it today or yesterday, that the one player that Rangers have not targeted, we seem to be signing quantity rather than quality, but it's like a scattergun approach. I don't quite see where these players are fitting in. And the one player that is badly, badly missing is, dare I say it, a Barry Ferguson, somebody who can put his foot in the ball, look up, make the colour pass, make the big run. I know these guys are expensive and they're very thin on the ground, but with all the money that we have spent, that's the one player we have cried out for years. Basically, since Steve Davis, that's the one position that we sadly miss. We've signed all these, what you would say, defensive midfield players. In the old days, are called right halves. Defensive midfield players, without that one guy that can just stand in the middle of the park, look up and make the killer pass and boss the midfield, dare I say it, like a young Callum McGregor.
Well, that's it. That's where Celtic have it at the moment, Thomas. You know, McGregor, for all that he's not young anymore, he continued to orchestrate things against LASK midweek in the Champions League qualifier. Rangers are obsessed by fullbacks and wingers. You know,
and defensive midfielders this year, they've collected them.
The transfer policy bewilders me. The sheer scale of it, and the fact that none of them appear to be the kind of player who's going to get you off your seat, Thomas. For all that 49ers Enterprises have been there, and it was always going to be the moment that was going to transform Rangers. Rangers are no further forward than they were on day one when Andrew Kavanagh arrived. So the transfer policy bemuses me, but those who are there, the displays are so bad, and you're saying, to use your description, sore on the eyes. How can players of that calibre be sore on the eyes? What's going on behind the scenes that makes Rangers not very good to watch?
The problem is, as well, Hugh, I know what Thomas is saying. I totally agree with him. I said this last week. I think they've just brought in players and they've not really thought about system, how they fit into the team and whatever. Thomas is talking about, listen, we've not got a player like we had with Barry Ferguson and Davis. And I sort of agree with him. But then when you look at the transfer policy that Rangers... They're loaded with midfield players. Absolutely.
But it's the same profile, though.
Yeah.
The same profile of midfield
players. And they've paid money as well, good money for some of those. They'll probably be in good wages. I just think Rangers have bought the quantity, like Thomas has said, instead of looking at the quality to fit in to your plans going forward. I just think they're taking... I think their transfer window's been very, very poor. I could be wrong, because it'll be closing shortly, and they could kick on from this. But I do agree, I've only watched Rangers once this season against St Mirren. I thought, right, they created a lot of chances, probably could have scored a lot more goals. But apart from that, I've not really had an enjoyment sitting watching Rangers playing football.
But there's not been free-flowing at all. They've been quite pedestrian to watch. I've watched most of their games. Taking too many touches in the middle of the park, not moving the ball quick enough. Thomas touches on Barry... There's not many Barry Fergusons out there, so it's quite difficult to compare with that. But they're lacking creativity. I think Raskin...
I think they're lacking quality.
Yeah, I think Raskin's still their best midfielder, and they've brought so many in. And he looks to potentially...
But even he doesn't... You know, thread difficult passes or loads of them or run the game in that way.
He's still the quality midfielder in their makeup in their squad. I don't see anybody else there. I know it's early days, but certainly the first 5-6 games or whatever it's been, if you include the European games, Rangers have been quite pedestrian for me.
I totally agree. I think the only one I've watched is the weekend one against St Mirren, and even at that, they could have conceded a few goals as well. They gave up a penalty kick. I think they're slack at the back at times with Fernandes. The right back seems to be a position. They've tried a few midfield players. That Finlay Curtis even ended up playing there at one point. Yeah. Derek makes a lot of changes at half time at times as well. He's changed his formation because he likes the two up top. And I must admit, I love seeing a manager going all out attack and playing two up top, the quality, but obviously Chirmiti. He's brought Shanklin for Hearts, and everybody thought, right, Shanklin's got to be the main striker here, makes him captain, and he can hardly get a game now. Yeah, you know, so there's a lot to do at Rangers, and Thursday night is massive for them to stay in Europe.
Thomas, you've been linked though with Kim Min-soo, a winger from Girona, played against Cordoba last night. If you can get another winger, if you can get a striker to fill Chirmiti's boots, would that give you any more optimism? Thomas?
It was like Hugh or yourself said, we're obsessed with wingers and fullbacks. But we don't need another winger. We need somebody.
Do you not think you do need another quality winger, though, no?
But we also need somebody to control the midfield. Hugh'll remember, Hugh is of a similar vintage. There was a character in the 60s called Viv Nicholson who won the pools, and our philosophy was spend. It should just spend randomly. And the 49ers, you cannot fault their investment. They're spending a lot of money. But like Viv Nicholson, it's spend without a plan. Yeah, we can sign this guy. I don't know much about him. But I would rather just see if you're going to prioritise one player, somebody in the middle of the park who can dominate a game. All the players we've signed, there's nobody you can say, apart from maybe Penrice with Rubens been out, there's nobody you can say is a stick-on starter. And yeah, that's what we should.
I think Macania is now looking pretty close to that.
Yeah, the nearest. But I think that's a bit of luck rather than anything else.
But then that's like, to be fair, right? I know sort of patience or credit for Rangers is in short supply, and it's understandable. You can't put guys that look like they're good signings down to good luck and then not say it's bad luck for the guys that are bad signings.
How many signings have we made? I think if I remember rightly, it's something like since Russell Martins came in, we have signed 29 players. 29. And how many can you say is a stick-on starter? You've said it yourself. Well, it's obvious. Your captain isn't even a starter. Of the 29 players, how many can you say are stick-on starters? And that's what we should be signing.
Thomas,
that's your priority.
We had a caller last night, Thomas, who said that Rangers fans were being overly critical. What were your expectation levels at the start of the season, and to what degree have your expectation levels been met, if at all?
You've asked the caller query. My expectations at the start of the season have been on previously. I hate to say it, I hate to be negative, but I never wanted Derek McInnes. I've never rated his CV for 20 years, especially when he was with Aberdeen with no Rangers, Hibs, Hearts, Dundee United in the league. He produced very little. I didn't have high hopes, and how do I put it? He hasn't disappointed.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. Nice and succinct from Thomas to finish off, summing up how he feels at the moment. I get, because you always argue about priorities as well. So I see what Thomas is saying. He'd prefer a midfielder. But if Rangers are going to play with wingers, it couldn't be Gassama, Yokota and Curtis, just the three of them. Gassama, who by the way has actually looked pretty good at times in the last couple of games, but obviously last season we saw that can be inconsistent. Yeah. Curtis is young, Yokota's just in as well. You couldn't. There needs to be another one.
No, of course you need backup because the amount of games
or a starter out of those four.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, you need competition.
If this guy's 10 million euros or whatever.
Yeah.
From Girona, he'll and if designs on being a starter.
And if you've going to change your plan. And with the fact that, because they'll probably bring in another centre forward, won't they? So you wonder if Derek is going to go back to that two up top with his two wide men. And if you're going to play with wingers, attacking wingers that are going to get you up the pitch and create chances for your two forwards, or you're playing the three with two wide and one through the middle, you've got to have options. You can't go through a season with two or three. We've seen it before. All of a sudden you see the window shuts and you leave yourself very, very short. They're overloaded in midfield. They really need to get one or two players. I think Hugh touched on earlier. Need to get one or two players out. They must be, you know, their wage bill must be incredible.
Ian's on the other line. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how you doing, panel?
Not bad, Ian. What have you got for us?
I'm thinking that Rangers, yeah, they're making, everybody's saying they're making a lot of signings, and not only them are like first team starters, and but they're putting young Scottish good, really good players out the door without giving them a chance and spending millions on other players. I mean, like, I've seen the day that Lyle Cameron's probably not get a future, Conor Barron's not get a future, and I just don't know where Rangers are going with this. I just can't see why these guys trying to get a chance, because anybody they're signing, is they making an instant impact? You know, I don't see that they're going to be any better than Barron or Lyle. I just can't see. I wish these guys would get a chance.
No harm to him, Ian Wright, but Lyle Cameron has had now multiple Rangers managers, was there last season, actually played and scored in Europe under Russell Martin. Danny Rule would have been able to take a look. He was obviously loaned out now at the start of this season. Derek McInnes will know fine well what he's all about anyway. Do you think that's all it is? Surely he's had a chance. You say he's not been given one.
I mean, no, but the managers have all been sacked, and I think that says more about them than honestly, I just don't think they're looking at this properly. I'm not saying they're going to make these guys, they're going to put them in and everything's going to be rosy, but I don't know what it is. Okay, they can look at them in training and all that, but you play them for maybe one game or a half, like half a game, and then like they bin them again. How are you supposed to get any kind of cohesion and what's supposed to be get yourself hanged into
the team? Ian, I think they have looked at them, and I hate saying this, I just don't think that they're at that level to take Rangers to where Rangers want to be as a club.
That said, I have seen a lot of debate online the last couple of days about is Cammy Devlin, or how does Cammy Devlin compare to Conor Barron?
I think they're about the same, same level for me.
I think the only difference there is obviously Derek knows what he's getting with Cammy Devlin as a player, as
from last year,
whatever, in the dressing room. But I wouldn't say there's much between the quality of either player.
No, and I'm not being disrespectful, because I think there's times that Conor Barron's come in and played very well for Rangers in the middle of the park under difficult times, but if Rangers have got to push on, you look at the quality that Celtic are bringing in, and if you're going to match that, then these guys that you're talking about, they have had an opportunity. You're right, Gordon. I just think that the Rangers managers look at them and think, no, they're not going to push us to where we want to go.
Thank you to Ian. We'll get a quick build-up to kick off in the Dundee Derby next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Kick-off fast approaching at Tannadice. Let's get a quick recap of the teams with Dave Galloway.
Yeah, the team's just coming out on the park now, and what an electric atmosphere here at Tannadice, Gordon. Walton is in goals for Dundee United, then it's a back four of Euro, Esselink, Forbes and Ferry, Chevet, Tate and Kamara in midfield with Mergam, Metsoko and Randall up top. Dundee go with Goodman in goals, a back four of Wright, Astley, Owen Bevan and Oduteo, Finnegan and Hamilton, the Sydney midfielders, then Joe Bevan, Wesley and Riley, with Forrest leading the attack.
Over to Hugh Keevans. You got cocky, verging on arrogant, finally getting an ACCA up this afternoon. How's this one
going
to go?
I'm going for Dundee United to give me 4 out of 4.
Oh, home win for Dundee United. You two?
Stonewall draw.
I think the thing that's Forrest leading the line, he'll come back and probably score. I'm sitting in the fair.
You want to wait to the full-time whistle?
Let me think. I'm thinking draw.
Okay, 2 draws and a Dundee United win, according to these duds.
Got Wesley up front there
in the studio. Yeah, Wesley got up. Just been playing off Simon Murray, hasn't he? Simon Murray's injury. They have brought in Fink and Bobby Wales. Bradley Fink on the bench. Bobby Wales, too early for him to be involved. Oh, no, he is on the bench. I take that back. I must have been ill-informed. Earlier on, Bobby Wales and Bradley Fink on the bench. I quite like to look at that signing. I thought Bobby Wales, well, he was good at Kilmarnock, that's why he got his move to Swansea, back up the road. You wonder if, you know, if he can have a good season.
Oh yeah, but obviously it's a bit early for him to get him thrown right into the derby. He'll probably come on and play a part in this game tonight, Gordon. Good signing. You know, I think Presley's got a good eye for a player. He's lost one or two. Well, he's lost a few. He's top players last season.
Came in for a lot of stick, didn't he, when he first came in? But he's did okay.
Oh, he's been brilliant. I think he's been a bit of fresh air there at Dundee. I think the Dundee fans have bought into him. And what I hear, I think his players absolutely love him, which, as a manager, helps, because you know in a game like this tonight, you're going to need everybody to give their all for you. And he's got that in abundance with his players.
Got a science teacher look about him, isn't he? Get up.
Well, we're just getting kick-off at Tannadice, so anything that happens in the opening exchanges, we will tell you all about it. Let's hear from Marvin Bartley, shall we? For goodness sake, can't get away from this guy. He's won against Motherwell in the Cup last week, and they're top of the Championship, Stenhouse Muir, after a win against Queen's Park. Let's hear from him.
Yeah, I thought the first half maybe a little bit flat. I think there was an overhang definitely of the Motherwell game, something that we had worried about coming into this. I'd spoken to a few of the players and said, are you okay? But some of the starters said, yeah. But I think they're just, listen, they're young, they're enthusiastic. So we had to make a couple of changes at half-time, and, you know, Ewan comes on and scores, I think, within 3 minutes of coming on the pitch. So, listen, the performance, and then Gregor does the same, actually. Gregor comes on the sub and gets one at the back post. So the performance was much better in the second half. There was a lot more energy about us, and that wasn't for a lack of trying for the boys in the first half, but they've just given me everything, honestly. I just think the tank was empty for a few of them, but everyone played their part, and like you said, it's a fantastic win, another clean sheet.
And what's been the key to this start of the season?
Hard work. You know, I said to the players when I first came in, we're going to have to be fit, we're going to have to be organised. You know, we're one of only two part-time teams in this league, so, you know, we're giving 2 days away to the full-time teams, you know, every single week. So, listen, again, it's down to the players. They have to look after themselves. They've spent more time away from the club than at the club, with us only training Tuesday and Thursday nights, but the performances have been excellent. We won't get too carried away with it. Again, it's really, really early days. Things can change very quickly. You can speak to me in 3 weeks' time and be like, you've not won again since Queen's Park game. So, yes, we'll never get too ahead of ourselves, and we'll just see how we go.
I was sitting next to Mark Wilson. He was saying that you're acting too big time. You should have been out pre-match putting the cones out. You got to say to that?
Well, I was out, wasn't I? I take a little bit at the end. Neil Hastings does most of the warm-up. I put my boots on, right, which the boys hammer all the time. So yeah, I did a little bit. Mark's probably got more coaches than I have here, because he's got a bigger budget, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, it's all right. He probably sits in his office. To be fair to Mark and Alec, they get really involved in the warm-up. So yeah, I'll give Mark a call when he has a problem. I'll go and pay him a visit.
Just the final one. I saw Gordon was trying to avoid your calls on Sunday night. You got anything you'd like to say to him right now?
Avoid my calls, avoid my messages. Told me we were friends when I went into the show on Wednesday. I'm going to see Gordon on Monday. It's been really, really good. Gordon Dio actually told me, I did the Tuesday show with him before we played Motherwell. He said, oh, you're going to get hammered and we won't see you again for 5 or 6 weeks. So shows what he knows about football, doesn't it?
Did you notice that subtle tribute to himself and his managerial capabilities? I brought on the subs and they both scored.
That wasn't the bit I took away from it. The bit I took away is that we are still, the end is not in sight of us getting the criticism after last week's cup.
Oh, he's giving it to us, yeah. Ah, listen, rightly so. Give it a couple of weeks. We'll get our own back. Don't you worry. The wheels will come off that wagon.
Great stuff, genuinely top. I know it's only after three games, right? The league table's always a bit
part-time team.
Quarterfinals of the cup, top of the table.
Yeah. Well, you've seen what Arbroath achieved as a part-time team in the Championship last year, and Marv was right. He went in there with
a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he went in there with a sort of a attitude of, right, okay, if we're going to give a couple of days up to full-time teams, we have really got to be prepared and fit. And he's doing that, and he's brilliant job so far. And as you say, getting to the cup as well, an extra few quid
amazing
helps him.
Great.
So, brilliant job so far.
You know what, I just took away from our both finishing third last year. I realised that. I thought you were referring to the year they really went close, but you're right. Third last year was absolutely incredible. Right, we're underway in this Dundee derby. There's Will Ferry. Wasn't fit enough to play yesterday, according to his manager. Said he was in a groin problem. Game comes too soon, but he's out there. And trying to lead Dundee United to a derby win. They're always played at quite a frantic pace. Look at that. That is just Joe Wesley just bashing into somebody for no reason whatsoever. Referee letting it go.
I like it in a derby. Let it go. Let the game settle down. And it was great. The TV camera just panned onto Murray there, and he's doing a bit of commentary. Yeah, Simon's doing a bit of commentary there, and great to see him up and about and going supporting his team.
It's never a good injury to get at any time of your career, but at his age, to carry that extra anxiety as to what he has, I think. But to talk about, you know, maybe what comes next for Simon Murray. I mean, it was only, was it the season before last, we had the odd Simon Murray for Scotland call.
Yeah. That was right.
He's now 34, Hugh.
He strikes me the kind of guy who will not give in to those who will say, ah, that's the end of his career in a meaningful way. He sounds, looks and sounds to me the sort of guy who will say, oh, is that right? And he will try everything to get back to where he was before that happened.
Important player for Dundee.
Just well, he's a captain.
You know, pressing from that front. Yeah. You've seen a big difference in their team when he went off last week up at Pittodrie. Bobby Wales is maybe going to have to fill that gap till he comes back. But at 34, it's no...
No.
But you, knowing Simon, I think, like Hugh, he will just be focused on how quick can I get back.
It's like Craig Gordon. No matter what happens to me, I will never yield.
Resilient. Mm.
And Craig Gordon, just as well he retired when he did, because he'd been much older than the new Scotland head coach.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the referee's letting a few of these tackles go. He's really keeping
right.
I'm liking this. It looks quite an open derby, frantic at times, but one or two wee challenges have went in. Players have went down, the referee's taking no notice, just saying, get on with it, it's a derby, it's going to be quick, it's going to be physical. So I like the look of it. I think we'll get goals here.
It's hard to get a gauge. I remember that previous, it was a Celtic caller actually saying, I'm not getting carried away in a positive sense. We then spoke about Rangers. There's just not a lot to go on yet. And Dundee United are such a good example. Got rave reviews for their performance against Rangers.
Point,
yep. Then got a really heavy, you know, defeat at Tynecastle. But actually, Jim Goodwin maybe felt that was a bit harsh on them. Then a heavy defeat against Celtic. But again, so you just don't know. We do probably need a few more games before you can really get a good handle.
Yeah, yeah. I like the way Jim's now starting to play, as much as we're looking at TV and the goalkeeper kicks along. But he was playing from out the back against Rangers in opening game. And I thought first half that were excellent at it, caused Rangers all sorts of problems. They went to Tynecastle, as you quite rightly said, Gordon. It was never a 4-0. It was just one of those games that every time Hearts went up the park, they scored. And they held their own, well, obviously, we hit the crossbar and attacking and everything against Celtic. So I think there's a lot to like. He's made six changes tonight in the derby. He's just trying to find that strongest side that's going to get them the results, as well as playing some good stuff.
As they break here, it's been quite lively the first 6 or 7 minutes, but I heard Elvis actually talking about it from the other side in terms of getting results in this fixture and the momentum. Mm-hmm. But it goes for Dundee United as well on the back of two heavy defeats.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Hugh, because they are then, you can use the exact same conundrum for them, because did really well against Celtic, but got beat. Got credit for it, Dundee. The 2-0 against Aberdeen was an absolute demolition. Mm-hmm. Then they go to Pittodrie and lose 3-0 in the Cup. So it is very early in the season to try and have major mind up on teams.
Of course, but that won't stop us. a win for Dundee, contrary to what I think, and they're 5 points ahead of Dundee United after three games. You know, that doesn't play well on Tannadice Street.
I know, but again, right, see when it's so early, that Dundee United will have played Celtic and Hearts.
Yeah, but fans live day by day, Celtic. Afternoon by evening. If it's 5 points and Dundee win, and it's 5 points between them, there'll be a high time in the old town tonight.
Anyway, we're almost out of time. That game's just in its infancy. You all geared up, all three of you, for a good week in Europe coming up?
Oh yeah, I think it'll be sensational. Tuesday night, Celtic. Martin O'Neill says 3 is not enough. Wednesday night, Hearts. Can they, after those terrible beatings from Sturm Graz and Benfica, knock out Rapid Vienna? And then on to Thursday, the big picture. Rangers, Jablonec. Better not lose that one, Derek, or else. And Hibs, well, history could be in the making in front of a riotous full house at Easter Road.
I've got a good feeling about Europe this week. Obviously, Motherwell, mountain to climb, that's not going to happen. But the rest of the teams firmly in the competitions, and I think we'll start off on Tuesday with Celtic with 100% going through, and look forward to Thursday night.
Yeah, I think started my predictions at the start of the show, 3 out of 5, I think that will remain. So it'll be Celtic, Rangers and Hibs that will go through.
Huge week ahead. We're looking forward to it. Whatever happens in this Dundee derby as well, that will shape a bit more of the Premiership narrative, certainly So a busy week coming up, despite the lack of top flight action today. Thank you for your company, nevertheless, staying with us in light of all the games that weren't on. Good day in the Championship and further down. In the meantime, though, it's time for us to bid you farewell and hand you over to Mr. George Bowie on the GBX. Have a good one.